This is the Financial Sense News Hour with the president of PFS Group, Jim Poplava. Since 1982, PFS Group has offered asset management and educational resources that have helped investors build, maintain, and preserve their wealth. And now, our lifetime income experts, Jim Poplava and Kathleen Harris.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm Kathleen Harris. Welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income.
And hi, everybody. I'm John Loeffler, and I don't think I belong on this segment of the show.
No, John, that's the weekend.
Oh, I'll see you then.
Okay. Well, today we're going to talk about a topic that sort of reflects the essence of the show, and that is timing retirement. Now, we're going to do a number of things. We're going to talk about trends and kind of give you an idea how you compare with what the rest of the country is doing on retirement. We're also going to talk about questions that need to be asked before you make that big decision to retire and likely the kind of challenges you're going to run up against. We're going to talk about new trends that are working during retirement, which is a new one. And that's a reflection of several things we'll talk about. That's been a major change in the workplace here. It's also affecting the employment statistics. You've heard a lot about the participation rate. One of the reasons the unemployment rate is falling is the participation rate is dropping. Well, one reason it's dropping is there are a lot of you that are baby boomers that are retiring. So we're going to talk about trends working during retirement, and then we're going to end the show with a checklist and two case studies that reflect somebody that was ready to retire and somebody that wasn't.
Now, the topics Jim and I are going to talk about today are pretty important to understand, mostly because there are some decisions you make in retirement that are irreversible. Once you've made the decision, there's no going back. Example, if you are offered some kind of a pension payout from your work, once you make that pension payout selection, that is pretty much set in stone. So again, before you think about making some of these decisions, make sure you take into account all the considerations that apply. For example, maybe there's some lifestyle issues. Maybe you need to sell a big home. Maybe you're going to move to another state. Thinking about your medical coverage. Does your employer offer any continuing medical coverage or medical benefit in retirement? What about some estate planning? So again, these are all pretty big decisions, so you need to be prepared for them before you retire. Like we always say, it's best to have a plan.
Well, I want to talk about some statistics recently because the retirement population has changed immensely. And let's start out with us baby boomers, which is what I am. And those are individuals born between the years 1946 and 1964, which really changed the retirement landscape. And according to estimates by the U.S. Census Bureau, listen to this one, folks, the number of people between the ages 25 and 64 will grow by 9.4%. while the number of people age 65 and older will grow by over 79.2%. In other words, the 25 to 64 crowd is going to add another 15.5 million people, where the retirement crowd is going to add 31.7 million. Now, that's between the years 2010 and 2030. And once again, I had mentioned that that labor force participation rate, which has been dropping, good reason, is a number of boomers that are heading into retirement. Now, the participation rate began to change in 1985 when the long-term trend among men, that's age 55 to 59 towards early retirement, began to level off. That's something that we're seeing now. Full-time work became a necessity for many people in the age to 65 and 69 age bracket. That's one of the biggest trends that we're seeing, and that has led to this sort of trend away from early retirement. We're seeing it both with not only male and females. And men, it's expected to go from 16.3% that will be working between age 65 and 69 to 22.1%. by the year 2010, that's a big change. And from women, it's going to go up to 13.8 from 8.6. And that trend on 2010 dates back to the significant changes over two decades from what the statistics looked like in 1990. So just in the last two decades alone, we've seen a major shift away from, let's say, that early retirement to, well, we're going to postpone it or we're going to work through it.
Jim, that's a significant change. What do you think can explain that particular trend toward more people working later in retirement?
I think a lot of that, Kathleen, came from changes implemented by the government. There used to be a mandatory retirement at age 65. And then in 1978, they changed that to age 70. And in 1986, they almost eliminated that completely. And in 1983, they reduced the de facto tax penalty of early retirement. And something that you may not be aware of, in the year 2000, now many of you know that if you retired at age 62 and you did some work, if your income exceeded a certain level of income, you lost, like, for every $2, you lost $1 of income. And then from age 65 to age 70, they penalized you less severely. Well, in the year 2000, they basically said, look, if you take your Social Security at full retirement age, which for most boomers right now is age 66, you can work and there's going to be no penalty. And also, one thing that we saw at the corporate level, especially this began in the 80s, was the change from defined benefit plans to defined contribution. Defined benefit plans, if you're not familiar with them, it's kind of like what you see in the government sector where you work so many years and you're guaranteed, like, you're going to get 80%, 90% of your highest paid salary when you retire. Corporations switched over to what you probably have today, which is a 401k plan. So there wasn't as great of assurance in terms of income when you retired. Also, something we saw that came in the 90s with the booming stock market and in the last decade with a lot of debt added on, lower savings rate. And let's not forget what happened in the last decade where we saw two bear markets of a drop in the S&P over 40% in a single decade. So one trend out of all of this is individuals are having to become more self-reliant because a lot of the things they used to depend on, defined benefit pension plans, let's say higher rates of return on interest, you're getting zero on interest right now, the unpredictability of stock market, and also corporate downsizing, which we see a lot during downturns. So the moral of the story out of this one, Kathleen, is it explains why we're seeing more people work during their retirement years. We're seeing more people delay retirement. And then also it's why more people are feeling like, gee, I don't have enough money to retire. I need to have greater assurance. And especially today at a time when you almost get nothing in the bank or money market funds, where for decades you got either double digits or high single digits.
Well, Jim, I think most of us that think ahead to our retirement years are sort of planning on or assuming or somehow in our minds imagine we'll be able to be pretty much financially self-sufficient once we retire. So I'm sure that as people are thinking about facing retirement and planning for retirement, there's a number of questions that really have to be answered before you make that decision as to when to retire. You know, some of us have time to plan. We're some years away from retirement, whether that's 20 years or 5 years or 2 years. We've still got some planning time ahead of us. But some of us don't get to choose the time that we retire. Sometimes a health situation forces us into early retirement. Sometimes a company forces us into early retirement. And retirement definitely is one of life's defining moments. So Jim, as we're thinking ahead to retirement, what are some of the questions that we really should be asking ourselves and putting our finances through before we actually make that choice to pull the trigger and actually retire?
Well, I think right at the top of the list, the first one that anybody needs to consider if you're maybe thinking about retirement in the back of your mind is, number one, can I afford it? I mean, the bills come every single month. Most will keep coming whether you're retired or not. You know, physical assets such as automobiles, fixing the house, roofs, things that wear out, replacing a battery, tires. And, as human beings, even our own parts, knees, teeth, eyes, lenses. You know what? If the regular paycheck were to stop, you got to think about this. What resources would be available to pay the bills and maintain your lifestyle for the remaining years of your life? And for some of you, if you, let's say, get an early retirement package or forced to retire early as a result of a layoff, maybe you got an early retirement program. You know what? People are living longer with medical advances. You can spend, what's the statistic? I think a husband and wife age 65, between both of you, 20 to 25 years of your adult life will be spent in retirement. So you're going to have to take a look at, what are my resources? Social Security, what kind of pensions? What do I have in my IRAs or tax-deferred annuities? What sources of income? Rental property, stocks, bonds, cash? What is it I have that's going to be able to supplement? And more importantly, as we talk about here with budgets, how much of that is assured? In other words, how much can you really count on to pay those basic bills, as we often talk about. When you're doing a budget for retirement, you need to break down your expenses. I know the awful word budget, but you need to break it down into basic expenses. What does it cost me to live? Forget about the extras, the want-to-dos, the must-haves, the things you'd like to have, but just day-to-day expenses. What is that number? And then take a look at, on the resource side with money coming in, what do you have that's dependable to pay those bills? It's a big decision.
And, you know, sometimes, Jim, your investments can produce some income that can sort of make up some of that gap between what you're spending and what's actually coming in the door once you're retired. But I know there's a lot of couples we talk to who we determine that they don't really have enough yet to retire. They really can't afford to retire. So question number one, asking yourself, can I afford to retire? You know, what if the answer to that question is no? What are some of the options if you run some of the numbers and do some different calculations and decide, you know what? I don't think I can retire right now. What are some of my options if I'm in that situation?
Well, the first one that comes to mind is probably the most logical one, is you're going to postpone retirement. By working more years, you can, number one, build the size of your benefits from the company retirement plans to Social Security and have more time to save and invest. And more importantly, you're going to reduce the number of years of which retirement income is going to be required. So that's probably the first option. A second option, which we're seeing, and this is reflected in some of the statistics I alluded to earlier, is planning for part-time work. Maybe you do something different, or maybe you stay on with the company and they say, hey, you know what, instead of 40-hour week, you're going to work 20 hours. I have quite a few doctors who originally were going to retire at age 66, where they got full retirement benefits at Social Security, and several of them, and we'll talk about one later on, that actually worked to age 70 when he did finally retire and said, well, that's enough. But he worked 4 years after his retirement date. So that's one option. And then also, I think, as we talked about in a case we did last week, where a couple sold their house here in California and moved to Phoenix, reducing lifestyle expectations, seeking lower cost housing, eliminating expensive luxuries such as second cars, second homes, golf memberships, or quite honestly, moving to another state where the cost of living is much cheaper, where housing is more affordable, as we talked about last week's show when we talked about the Bullocks.
So Jim, those are some great ideas for people who ask themselves a question, can I afford to retire right now? And the answer is no. But what about the people for whom the answer is yes, that there are calculations and the figures and the projections show that they can afford to retire? The question is, should you retire if you can afford to?
Well, I mean, a couple of things you're going to have to assume here. Number one, assume financially that you can. There are a couple of things you need to ask. Do you want to? What if you're in a job where you really like doing what you do? As I mentioned just earlier there, I had a doctor who liked what he was doing, didn't want to work full-time, kind of tired of the weekends. He was on call and then also 40-hour weeks. But you know what? He ended up putting in 15, 20 hours a week, which was just fine for him. So he really liked what he did. Other issues that determine it, and we're going to talk about this in a case study today, are health issues and also stress. And the other thing that may come to you is early retirement incentives. We're seeing this more and more, Kathleen, where both companies and the government itself are saying, you know, those older employees that we have that are paid at a higher scale, cost us more with medical insurance, we're going to try to reduce our expenses, bring in younger workers, give them a job opportunity by making it attractive in some kind of retirement package to take an early retirement. And so there are a number of factors. Do you want to retire? Health, stress, and early retirement incentives.
You know, Jim, I was thinking too, one of the things besides the financial in terms of whether or not you should retire, is there's a lot of other things about your retirement that really impact more than just you. They actually impact a network of people around you, like your family, for example. I'm thinking about, what about how your retirement package pension decisions affect your spouse's situation? Should you predecease your spouse, for example? Or maybe a situation where your dependents really depend on your medical coverage through work. And so retirement on your part is going to put your dependents in a unique situation that maybe they're not prepared for in terms of paying for medical care. Or maybe life insurance. Maybe your employer is actually subsidizing or supporting you in some kind of a life insurance program. And that goes away when you retire, or you have to pony up some additional money to pay those premiums. These are all some things to think about before you retire in terms of making sure you're weighing all the benefits and the outcomes here.
And, you know, this brings the final question that you may want to ask yourself. You know, maybe you are at that point in your life. You're at a point financially where you can retire. You've got Social Security, pension. Maybe you have enough financial assets. You know, a final question I think that bears some reflection on is, do you really want to retire? We've seen medical studies, people that keep themselves active, their minds active, actually live longer. And there are individuals that find their work very satisfying. The camaraderie they have with the company, the employees, the culture of the company. And I go back to one of my doctor clients, a third generation client, started out with his father. He became a client, and now we're working with his children. But basically, he loved doing what he was doing, loved his patients. He just didn't want to keep the hectic life. You know, when you get 65, 66, maybe you want to slow it down a little bit, spend a few more weeks a year traveling or spending more time on your hobbies or doing other things. But he wanted to work, and he did until age 70 when he walked into my office and he said, you know what? At age 70, I think it's time. In his case, he has children that live in different parts of the country. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of you parents are reflecting the very same. I'm fortunate that I have all three of my sons in the business. They're around me. But many of you see your kids move away. They move to another states. Then they start having grandchildren. And then you're saying to yourself, yeah, gosh, I'd like to visit them. And that's what he did. He has two kids overseas and one on the East Coast. And so basically it was just sort of, hey, I want to go see my kids. I want to travel. I want to do some of those things. But he did work for many, many years after he retired.
And Jim, I think that's really important. As you mentioned, there's a lot of studies that show that people that keep themselves active socially, intellectually, physically in retirement, you know, they live healthier, longer lives. So I think, again, good point there that sometimes the unexpected option, working longer than you thought, is actually a good one. But what about early retirement? Again, we're sort of seeing this trend toward people retiring later and later. But there's also a huge trend that I'm seeing among the people I'm talking to about wanting to retire earlier than full retirement age. You know, everyone kind of dreams about that final day of work and retiring and all the fun stuff they're going to do after they retire. And they're focusing on the dream and not so much on the financial consequences of that early retirement decision. We talked about, you know, medical coverage for yourself, your spouse, and your dependents, and that can be pretty expensive. You know, Jim, we've talked about a Fidelity study that I've been following for several years now, and they've estimated that during retirement, a couple can spend an average of between $220,000 to $250,000 in medical expenses. That's the average. Now, that's assuming you retire at full retirement age and have an average lifespan. Now, if you retire early at age 62, a couple starting at age 62 can tack on another $52,000 worth of estimated medical expenses onto that figure. So that means that couple that retires early is looking at a total medical bill of between $270,000 to $300,000 in retirement. That's not chunk change.
No, it isn't. In fact, if you take a look at the one common enemy, anybody retiring early, is time, because it's an issue confronting anyone. And there's several things that come up with that. Number one, when you retire earlier, obviously there are fewer years you have to accumulate assets, benefits in a pension plan, or for that matter, if you take early retirement Social Security, less income from Social Security. So fewer years to accumulate assets. Another one is more non-working years to finance. So, you know, if the typical couple at age 65 can plan roughly 20, 25 years in retirement. Think if you retire at age 60, add another 5 years to that. Well, that's five more years that you're going to have to finance. Also, as I mentioned, you take early retirement at age 62, you're only going to get 80% of your benefits. In a lot of defined benefit pension plans, especially with companies that have them, the fewer years spent with the company, or in other words, the earlier you retire, that also reduces your defined benefit pension plan. And then, you know, you take a look at healthcare cost. And healthcare cost, as you mentioned, Kathleen, can be considerable. And so you want to make sure that you have something like a COBRA plan until you get on to Medicare, that you have some kind of means of covering medical insurance. Because, folks, what you don't want to do is leave work where you're covered. And especially if you have a pre-existing condition, for goodness sake, make sure that you have a COBRA plan where you can take those benefits over and supply your own medical insurance, at least until you get age 65 and are eligible for Medicare. And also, if you have things like a 401k program, you rolled over into an IRA before age 59 and a half, there's penalties. Now, there's ways to get around that, but they're not really good ones, but you can't avoid that. And then also, what happens if, let's say, you retire, but you've got another spouse that's either much younger than you, will be years away from getting any kind of Social Security benefits, or is that fact that there's quite an age difference, they enjoy working, you're going to be retired and they're not. How does that work? So there are a lot of issues that you have to face if you retire early.
You know, I was thinking, Jim, a lot of boomers are still retiring a little bit early, but we've been talking, there's a trend also towards later retirement. And I'm thinking, too, about the realities of some of these pension plans and benefit plans, which is that, you know, a lot of these things assume a married couple's finances or something along those lines. Something that sometimes happens in retirement years that sort of throws everything askew is separations or divorces that can really impact the financial viability of actually being retired and might end up having to go back to work again because of a dramatic change in your financial situation due to a divorce or a separation. So again, something else to think about is another reason to maybe think about retiring a little bit later is protect yourself, set up a little bit more of a nest egg, a little bit more of a Social Security benefit, you know, just in case one of those things happens to you.
Yeah, and you know, there are some positive things about this. You know, if you retire later, there's fewer years you're going to have to finance or draw down on, let's say, principal if you have to go that direction. More years that you're going to have to accumulate assets so your retirement becomes more secure. And also, don't forget, a lot of these retirement plans increase as you get older, and especially Social Security. In other words, if you don't take your Social Security benefits, full retirement benefits at age 66, if you were born between, let's say, the years 1939, 1940, your benefits go up 7% a year until you reach age 70. And if you were born after 1943, your benefits go up 8% a year for the next 4 years until age 70. Same thing with defined benefit plans. The more years you spend in service with the company, you know, the bigger that defined benefit plan is going to be. And then also you have to remember, too, at age 70 and a half, there are mandatory distributions required from pension plans. So eventually, you're going to have more money. You're going to have bigger retirement benefits, either Social Security or a pension, or more assets. So your retirement is more secure because you have more assets to take care of you over fewer years.
So, Jim, we've talked about this trend toward early retirement, trend toward later retirement. What about the compromise, the middle ground? What about this whole idea of working during retirement? And I'm talking again about working part-time. Why don't we talk a little bit about that and what that might do for you?
Well, this is sort of what a lot of people in the planning industry are calling the middle ground. Number one, by working part-time or, let's say, postponing retirement, it sort of allows you to maintain your lifestyle because you have a paycheck, you have income coming in. You don't have as much a need to draw down on your assets. Also keeps you active and healthy. And you never know, you may be doing something that you enjoy. So there are a lot of benefits. And that was that trend that we cited at the beginning of this show this week, was the trend towards later retirement or the trend towards working during retirement. I think a lot of this is financial. In fact, I think a lot of it is financial. I mean, when you take a look at the interest rates that we have today and you take a look at what's happened to two bear markets in a single decade, reduced a lot of what people thought they were going to have when it came time to retirement, not to mention the fact it was the first time that we ever saw housing prices drop in nearly half a century. So a lot of these things, I would think a lot of it has to do more with financial, number one, and number two, the change in regulations by the government, you know, getting full Social Security benefits at age 66, no matter if you work, getting rid of the mandatory retirement ages, which have virtually been eliminated. So a combination of those two, Kathleen.
I'm just thinking about one of our clients, Jim, about this whole idea of, you know, working part-time in retirement or picking up a different job in retirement. One of our clients actually retired recently, and he was a corporate exec at a very successful company. You know, he retired with plenty of money. So it wasn't as though he needed to work to earn money, but he needed to work to keep himself from going stir crazy. So he happened to love doing home improvement projects. So he got a job working at Home Depot. He's there 20 hours a week and he absolutely loves it. It's the best thing he's ever done. He absolutely just can't wait to talk about it when he calls us on the phone. So again, this is an idea. It doesn't have to always be a negative thing to work during retirement. You can do something you really, really enjoy. So, Jim, going back to all the things we've been talking about, and before we go on to the case studies, let's talk about that checklist, the six main items that we need to keep in mind before we actually make that final decision to retire.
There's a number of them, Kathleen, and for those of you that are considering retirement, I highly recommend you jot these down because you're going to want to go through this if you're going to be facing that decision either of your own free will or it's thrust upon you unexpectedly by either the company merges, they've got an early retirement package, or you know something happens, or worse, you get laid off. But the first thing is personal financial information. You're going to want a cash flow statement. That is just simply a budget. It's what does it cost me to live? Here's where I'm spending my money, and this is what I've got as a source of revenue. You're going to want to have a net worth statement. That's very important. So you get a big picture. Hey, what kind of assets do I have? What can I use? Do I have a lot of equity in my house that really isn't doing anything for me? Would I be better off selling my house, downsizing? Anticipated income need in retirement. What will change if you retired? Do you envision yourself spending more, spending less? You know, travel? What source of income will your spouse bring in, if any? And also, what about the spouse's retirement date? And any ideas or plans in the back of your mind about maybe working part-time or going into a different profession during your retirement years? As Kathleen just mentioned, one of our clients working at Home Depot absolutely just loves it. That is a very, very, I think, important one. And it's one that, boy, I tell you, it starts right here, folks. I mean, it's a snapshot of where you are financially. And then you want to look at your sources of, let's say, dependable income. Start with your employer. What kind of plan do they have? What is your vested status in the plan? What is the annual benefit? If it's a defined benefit, what's going to be the lump sum if it's a defined contribution like a profit sharing or 401k? If you have some kind of monthly income plan coming from work, what are the spousal benefits, the survival benefits? What is the formula for calculating those benefits? And what's your choice? Some companies have various plans, and in fact, multiple plans. Some you have flexibility and control over. Others you really don't. You need to know those and need them in advance and get them from your HR department. Find out, study them, and really understand the implications. Because as we mentioned, a lot of these plans, once you make that decision, it becomes permanent. And you don't want to make the wrong decision. And then, of course, Social Security. I mean, find out what your benefits are going to be at full retirement age at age 66, and then find out what you're going to give up if you take early retirement, either for you or your spouse.
And Jim, I think just as an aside here, it's important to revisit some of those numbers you get from your employer and from Social Security every couple of years just to see how those benefits are changing as you work a little bit longer. I was also thinking, Jim, something else on your checklist should really be an overall look at you and your spouse's health in particular. You know, are you in good health right now, in poor health, any significant pre-existing conditions or bouts with significant illnesses? Do you have a history of significant health issues later in life? What's your family's longevity pattern like? In other words, how long can you expect to live and how expensive might it be in terms of medical costs? Does your current employer offer any health benefits in retirement? If so, what do they look like? How much they cost? Is it cheaper or more expensive than the healthcare exchange? What about, do you have any current medical or long-term care insurance? Does that change? What are the benefits and prices on those things? Make sure you sort of pencil out all these things before you make these decisions. But definitely, health costs are going to take a big chunk out of your retirement paycheck. So you want to make sure that you're doing a good job of estimating those for your family.
And then these are sort of personal ones, but they relate. Are there any dependents? Are you taking care of, you know, do you have any children that, let's say, need medical coverage, aged parents in the picture, anything that may affect other members of your family? And then also, what kind of changes in lifestyle will come about when you retire? What will you be doing different? Now you're going to have all this free time. How will that change? Will it change your expenses? Do you plan on spending more travel? You're going to play more golf? Maybe you got a motorhome? Maybe there's a hobby? What's going to change in your lifestyle? Because a lot of times, and especially when it comes not at your own free will, but it's thrust upon you because of something that happens at the company, layoff, mergers, early incentives. All of a sudden, here you are making all these decisions. And folks, there are a lot of decisions that are made here. And what you don't want to do is find yourself thrust into a situation. It's upon you. And all of a sudden, you've got a month or 6 weeks to make a decision. And, you know, your whole life is going to change now. So at least address some of these issues and have some kind of backup plan, or at least think through some of these so that if that happens or you finally decide, hey, I am ready to retire. I've looked at my finances. I have a plan. I can afford to do it. I've covered all the bases. I have an estate plan. I know what's going to cover my medical expenses. I know what my lifestyle, my budget. I know my sources of income, which are dependable, others which are not. All of those things added up, that's what's going to make your retirement more secure. And here's the sad fact. 70% of people that retire today have no plan whatsoever. You don't want to be that 70%.
Oh, Jim, that just makes me sort of shake in my shoes. That's really scary. Moving on, I want to sort of talk about a couple that came in to see me recently. And I think I can see a lot of our listeners sort of being in these couple's shoes, Jim, where you've got a situation where you got two spouses, both of them are working, and one of them is noticing that the other spouse is getting really miserable at work. So miserable that they really are trying to push their spouse into maybe taking early retirement. But, you know, this couple that came in to see me was in that boat. Rob and Julie Mitchell came in to see me, and Rob was 60, Julie was 59. Rob had spent many, many years in the state's transportation department, and so he was looking at a fairly decent setup, you know, defined benefit package coming from the state if and when he retired. And his wife, Julie, who had been assistant engineer, again, for many, many years, she really didn't have that much in terms of employer benefits, but she had been making a decent salary and putting away a fair amount towards retirement. But she was sort of in the situation where, you know, Rob was looking at the way Julie was just feeling about her life. He was noticing that she was spending really, really long hours at work, that she was constantly under stress, that she was constantly meeting deadlines where she was, you know, at work 7 days a week till all hours of the night. And he was just thinking, you know, Julie, this is no way to live. You know, something has to change here because this is just miserable. But Julie, when they came in to talk to me, I could tell. When we sat down from each other and I looked at her, and Rob starts talking about how he really wants Julie to take early retirement. He's convinced it's what she needs to do. I'm watching Julie's face as they're talking to me, Jim, and I can tell from Julie's expression on her face that she is just not comfortable at all with the idea of retiring early. It is scaring her to death. So I asked her, you know, what are you really worried about? You know, tell me what's your concern about retiring early. And like anyone else out there, she said, I'm just worried I'm going to run out of money. So I said, okay, let's take a look at your situation and see if you can afford to retire early. Let's see if Rob's right and it's time to retire for you. Let's see if we can give yourself permission to retire early.
And when we looked at the assets, number one, they had a house worth roughly about $500,000. And unfortunately, there was a $300,000 mortgage against that. Their retirement accounts, 403B plans and everything else, or 457 plans, $250,000, roughly about $50,000 in various CDs, money market funds. Rob's coin collection was worth probably about $40,000. And they had a variable life insurance with about $26,000 of cash value and $70,000 in a death benefit.
So when you think about their assets, they really didn't have a lot socked away in terms of assets. When I first started looking at their situation, I was a little concerned. So I started taking a look at their finances. So as things stood when they came in to see me, they were both making around $80,000 a year, which when you think about it, Jim, together, that's a really nice income for a couple. It's $160,000 a year. They were making some pretty good money. And right now, their expenses were running about $9,000 a month. So we took a look at that and said, okay, this is where you're at right now. What happens? Let's just run a scenario. Let's just see what happens if Julie retires now and Rob works another 2 years before he retires. How does that sort of change the picture here? So they decided that in order for Julie to retire early, they would reduce their expenses $1,000 a month. So their expenditures would be about $8,000 a month. Basically, what they decided to do is Rob was a huge classic cars guy. He was always spending money on fixing up classic cars, and it was a pretty expensive hobby. You know, he's spending about $3,000 a month on it. And so he agreed that he would cut down his classic car spending by $1,000 a month so that Julie could retire early because it was that important to him. While Julie was retired, they still had Rob's paycheck coming in at about $7,000 a month. So they were shortfall just a little bit, about $1,000 a month. You know, and again, no one likes to dip into their retirement savings at the beginning of retirement, but we thought, okay, this is what we've got to work with. Let's dip into the savings for a couple of years and see what happens. So we looked into that, and you know what? That was actually going to work as a scenario for them. And here's why. Because in the second phase of their retirement, when both of them are finally retired, so 2 years after the beginning of the retirement plan, Rob retires. Rob agrees to cut down his classic car projects even more when he retires because he realizes he can't keep spending all this money every month on these classic car projects. So when they both retire, Rob's Social Security comes in at around $2,000 a month. Julie's Social Security comes in at around $2,000 a month. Rob has a really great state pension. His state pension is bringing in $5,000 a month. And because his pension is the backbone of their family's retirement plan, he decided he was going to make Julie his 100% survivor benefit on his pension option. And again, this was really critical to the success of this family's early retirement plan. Rob also agreed that he would work part-time doing independent contracting work for the state, basically a riff on his old job, but just part-time. And the agreement between them was that any money that Rob earned from this independent contracting work would be his to play with however he wanted on his classic cars. Now, again, when we sort of looked at their overall situation, with Rob's pension coming in at $5,000 a month and their Social Security coming in at $4,000 combined, that was $9,000 a month of steady, dependable income. So even without looking at their investment portfolio, just from their pension income alone and their Social Security income alone, they were going to be a cash flow positive every single month. So I looked at Julie and I said, Julie, this is the number. If you retire now and Rob retires in 2 years, this is how the numbers work out. You're going to be okay to retire now if you want to. And I could just see Julie's face completely relax. And I said, Julie, you can give yourself permission to retire. So when you go home tonight, just think about it. But we've run the numbers and you're going to be fine if you retire now. So this is what the numbers tell us. And I think, Jim, it was just a matter of, we always fear the unknown. And that was Julie's problem. She was fearing the unknown. She just didn't know how her retiring early was going to really impact her family's retirement situation. And so when we ran the numbers and looked at it a little bit more, the fact that she could retire early and she could see it in black and white, it was really huge.
Well, let's move on to another case. And we're going to call this Patrick and Sylvia Callahan. Patrick, 62, his wife, Sylvia, 59. Sylvia was a volunteer and a homemaker, so she was staying at home. Patrick was an aerospace engineer, lots of project management, stress, deadlines, really wants to retire now because the stress was building. He had high blood pressure. Also, Patrick's mother was very ill. She lived in New Mexico. And one thing that Patrick would be the beneficiary of, his mom's home was free and clear, and he was the only child in the family, so he would stand to be the heir to that home. He'd have a free and clear home.
So when they came to us, they had a certain amount of assets set aside already. They had a home in Del Mar, which for those of you who aren't familiar with San Diego, it's near the racetrack, the Del Mar racetrack, really nice area of town. It's a beach location. It's just a fantastic location. So their home was worth $1.3 million. When they bought it back in 87, it only cost them $300, but it's appreciated $1 million since then. Now, they do have a couple mortgages on against it. They do have a $200,000 mortgage, a first mortgage. They also took out a second mortgage to fund their kids' education. So they've got a second mortgage riding on the home of about $100,000. In terms of their liquid assets, Patrick's 401k was about $500,000, and he'd also put aside about $250,000 into their family trust. So they had this beautiful home in Del Mar that had some mortgages against it, but they had about $750,000 in liquid assets. And the question really was, could they afford to retire right now with that particular package of assets they came to us with?
And here's the situation. Their income, roughly about $120,000 a year. That was mainly Patrick's salary and plus some investments that they had in their personal portfolio and their trust. Expenses were about $100,000. That included taxes. So they were saving. One of the advantages, especially people that moved here early, in the case of the Callahans that bought real estate. Boy, I can remember back in the 80s when you could get a house here for $250,000, $300,000. Trying to find that today is like looking for a needle in a haystack. They had a lot of equity built into their home, and they had income, and they were saving. The trouble is, even at $100,000 in expenses, that's a lot of money to fund. And so we were looking at a couple situations. Scenario one, retire now. Quite honestly, when we looked at it, it just wasn't workable. First of all, his full retirement benefits would be $2,400 if he waited to age 66. Well, he's age 62. So he was only going to get 80% of that. So instead of $2,400 a month, he would only get roughly a little over $1,900. Sylvia was not even 62 yet. So she would get zero, and expenses are $100,000, shortfall $75,000. Now, when you take a look at, there are a couple of things we could have done. We could have taken the $500,000 and done a joint annuity with the survivor, 10 years certain. Well, that was going to produce $2,000 a month. Still not enough. We could have done, let's say, $500,000 and invested at 3% in a dividend income fund. That would have been $1,250. Still not enough. So the bottom line is we had to tell them, you can't retire now and maintain your current lifestyle. Something had to give. Either you have to postpone it, or there has to be a radical change in lifestyle from the way they were living today.
I bet that made you really popular with them, Jim.
I sort of became the bad cop.
I'm not surprised to hear that. That's a tough piece of information to hear from your financial advisor, as you got to hold off on retirement. That's a pretty tough nut to crack, that one.
So when they looked at the numbers, we looked at the budget, and then we looked at, okay, what about downsizing? Well, here's one thing that some of you may want to think about. What was one of the reasons Patrick wanted to retire early? It was the stress in his job. It was meeting the deadlines, the project management, working late hours, sometimes having to go in on weekends. And, he brought up the fact, there was another department where he could transition to a lower paying job with less stress. The difference, it would have been a cut in pay by almost 15, 20%. So instead of $120,000 a year, he'd be making close to $100,000 a year. So that was a possible option. And downsize the itch to retire, because as we mentioned, if he worked until he was age 66, his Social Security would go from $1,900 to $2,400. He would get the full benefit. Also, the benefit would grow each year. Sylvia would then be past 62, so she could collect her Social Security, which would be added income. In addition to that, by working the additional 4 years, number one, Patrick was going to add more to his 401k program, and he had matching contributions with this company, so that $400,000 or $500,000 in his pension would get a whole lot bigger in 4 years when you consider he was maxing out as much as he could in his 401k playing catch-up. At the same time, he was getting matching contributions with the company. And finally, by working an additional 4 years, he would be drawing less on his assets. In other words, those assets would be accumulating instead of being drawn down. So downsized lifestyle, there were a few things they could do. I mean, they had a palate for fine wines. And, he mentioned, there's probably some good wines I can get for paying less money. And there were various things. Maybe they could cut down on their restaurant bills, because a lot of times they would eat out a couple times during the week. And you know what restaurants are like right now. So reducing expenses by $10,000 was doable. The other thing we looked at was downsizing their lifestyle again when they got to be age 66. And here's the reason. In their case, the majority of their assets, kind of like the Bullocks last week, and this happens to a lot of Californians that bought their homes early, is their main asset was their house, $1.3 million with $1 million of equity tied up into that house, and roughly $750,000 less in expenses and taxes. So the mortgage would go away. There's $2,000 out the door. And also move to New Mexico with Patrick's mom, should she still be living at that time, because Patrick was going to be the beneficiary of his mom's house, which was free and clear, and that's where Patrick grew up anyway. And they liked that area because they still have friends there, so he could take care of his mom in the house, which he would inherit when his mom passed away, free and clear. So that way, all of the money on the sale of the house here in California could be used. There would have to be a little bit of taxes here because there's only $500,000 in terms of gains, although they put in some improvements over the years and fix up, but there'd be a little tax on the sale, but the bulk of that could go into income producing assets.
So I think at the end of the day here, Jim, why don't we sort of recap where they're at? So we talked about where they were when they first came to us, what we suggested they do in terms of delaying retirement just a little bit, and what we suggested they do in retirement, which was to finally sell their house and move to New Mexico. So looking ahead down the road to when Patrick would retire, at that time, they would not really have a home expense or a home as an asset because they'd either be living with Patrick's mom or already have inherited her house. In terms of their liquid assets, Patrick's 401k, again, at the time we met with him, $500,000. Looking down the road, if he maxes out his contributions for the next 4 years, that would add about $100,000 to that chunk of money. Not to mention, if we just look at a modest growth rate, he probably could earn about another $100,000 on that pot of money, meaning that within 4 years, his $500,000 pot of money could be worth around $700,000 to $750,000. Now, again, the trust, we talked about how that was worth about $250,000 when they first met with us. Looking down the road, if they manage to net $750,000 in the sale of their California home, that gives another $1 million to work with in terms of their trust assets. So at the end of the day, looking down the road 4 years, instead of having $500 in their 401k, they'd have about $750,000. Instead of having only $250,000 liquid in their trust, they'd have almost $1 million in their trust. That's a significantly different situation to be talking about when you're thinking about actually retiring.
And when you take a look at, we were talking about two downsizing, you know, scaling back some of the expenses and then downsizing when they eventually did retire. The difference is that $100,000 of expenses would drop to $70,000 or roughly about $6,000 a month in spending. Patrick's Social Security would be up by over $680. Now, you multiply that times 12 months, 680 times 12, that's equivalent to over $270,000 in assets, assuming a 3% rate of return. And then also, at that time, Sylvia would be eligible for Social Security, throw in another $1,000 a month there. And then what we did is we created a laddered bond portfolio of almost $1.2 million. That's at 3%. There is $3,000 a month in income. And then dividend-paying stocks of about $500,000, roughly about 2%. That's $833 a month, and of course, they had their cushion at the bank. Now, here's the bottom line, net-net. It amounted to a savings of almost $19,000 a year. That's a lot of money, almost $1,600 a month. So what was the main solution here? Well, there was two of them. Initially, downsize and cut expenses. Secondly, delay retirement, so Social Security benefits would be better for Patrick. Also, Sylvia would be now pulling in Social Security. And then also by moving to New Mexico to take care of his mom, he was going to inherit the house in the first place. And that's also where he grew up and they still had a lot of friends. So it just made a lot of sense. Here was downsizing and delaying retirement that would make a world of difference. And also by de-stressing his job, by going to another department, making $20,000 less a year, it enabled him to work because really the whole impetus behind early retirement was stress. And a lot of people do that. They say, I can't wait to quit. My job is stressful. I hate going into work. I don't like the hours, the time I'm coming in. You know, there's other things I'd want to do. Well, you know what? De-stress. He's no longer under the deadlines he used to be in, and a whole change in outlook. And sometimes we need to do that.
Jim, I think this is kind of a creative blend of the retiring early and working in retirement. Because he's not really retiring early, and he's not really working in retirement, but what he's doing is he's basically switching his full-time job to something he can enjoy a little bit more and stress over a little bit less. So in a way, it's a very creative solution to this desire to retire early and the requirement to work in retirement, sort of a creative middle ground there for him in terms of a solution for him. And Jim, again, I think, you know, we've talked about this all the time. There's no one retirement solution or one financial plan that's one size fits all. This is a very specific solution for a very specific situation. And it was pretty creative, actually, you know, for us to come together with this gentleman and make this plan. So again, as you're penciling these things out, give yourself some room to be creative and think outside the box in terms of what's going to fit you and your family the best when you're planning your retirement.
Yeah, because I think probably the most creative thing here is when we analyze, you know, what was the motivation to retire early? It was really the stress in the job. And it was Patrick that brought up that there was an opening in another department for doing something similar, but without the workload, without the time deadlines and the after-hour works and coming in on weekends. And so here was a solution that was presenting itself right in front of them. And when you really thought about it, when we analyzed this case and said, why do you want to retire early? Because there's going to have to be some dramatic changes here if that's the case. When it boiled down to it, it was the stress of the job. So by de-stressing the job enabled this retirement plan to work out where retirement could be delayed. That increased the 401k plan, that increased Social Security benefits, it brought on Sylvia's benefits. At one time, they were considering moving to New Mexico anyway because Patrick was going to inherit his mother's home, which was free and clear. Many people, that's the way they want to live in retirement. They don't want a mortgage payment. They want a free and clear home.
So I think, again, Jim, we sort of talked about the checklist of things you should think about when you're planning on retiring, the things you need to go through, your net worth statement, your cash flow statement, outlining your sources of income, thinking about your family's health situation, thinking about the peripheral effects of your retirement in terms of effects on your family situation, and, you know, really just making sure that you've thought through a lot of different things before you actually pull the trigger on your retirement.
And what it boils down to, folks, when you get it down, have yourself a plan. I know sitting down, thinking about all these things can seem like a big burden, but just break them down one step at a time. How about just start out with a simple budget and just say, you know, wouldn't you like to know that question? What is your number? Can you retire? Because what if 2 years from now, let's say we have another recession, the economy goes into a downturn, company downsizes, or we have a recession, another bear market. These are things that you need to answer now. So if the situation ever presents itself, or simply you get to that point looking at the numbers and say, you know what, I can't afford to retire and I want to retire, at least you'll have a plan that'll keep you retired throughout your retirement years and also make you feel a lot more secure about your future.
Now, if you're one of our listeners and you're sitting there listening to me and Jim and thinking, you know what, I really do need to make a retirement plan, but you're feeling maybe a little overwhelmed, not knowing where to start, need a little bit of help sort of figuring out the different scenarios that might come along, give us a call here at PFS Group. Our number is 888-486-3939. My extension is 105, and I'd be happy to hear from you.
Well, that concludes this week's program. On behalf of Kathleen and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Hopefully you had a prosperous, nice, and happy 4th of July and a safe one. Until we talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
Now, if you're one of our listeners and you're sitting there listening to me and Jim and thinking, you know what, I really do need to make a retirement plan, but you're feeling maybe a little overwhelmed, not knowing where to start, need a little bit of help sort of figuring out the different scenarios that might come along, give us a call here at PFS Group. Our number is 888-486-3939. My extension is 105, and I'd be happy to hear from you.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSN. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.